Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dave Leventhal, our Washington insider, is live with WBEN on the Torquay College Lifeline. The president is in the Middle East. He arrived in Saudi Arabia this morning, right after the U.S. and China announced an agreement to slash tariffs for 90 days as they negotiate a wider trade deal. Dave, what is the fallout on this trade deal? How is this being viewed?
Yeah, all eyes on all things overseas for the next few days, Susan, whether that be in the Middle East or China or elsewhere. I mean, the fallout is that Donald Trump, not 40 days ago, had his day of liberation, where we were supposed to slap tariffs on just about everyone in the name of making sure that the United States was going to have a future, where manufacturing was going to come back to the United States in a major way, that other countries would feel the pain of tariffs slapped on them by the United States. And the tariffs on China specifically were going to go well above 100% and were for a while. Well, that's not true anymore. It's only going to be down to 30% based on this latest negotiated deal. That's going to be a 90-day temporary measure. We'll see what happens even within that time, say nothing of the 90-day mark and what happens after that. But this has just been like the ultimate, if you remember the old comet in Crystal Beach, up and down and up and down and all around. And I mean, this has been just a wild ride of proportions that we've never really seen in modern U.S. history when it comes to tariffs. So if you ask the question, well, where is this all going? The answer is, who knows? Because I don't even think Donald Trump at this point knows. So much of this has just been up to him and how he feels about what should happen and deals being cut and dropped and renegotiated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, certainly busy for the president. He's going over to the Middle East, obviously still discussing this trade deal, or at least a pause, as they work on a further deal with China. But a lot to discuss in the Middle East, too, especially peace agreements. And then, of course, this whole jet idea, which has gotten a lot of people, even those close to the president, a little up in arms with the idea that he'd accept such an extravagant gift from, what do you want to describe Qatar or the Saudi kingdom? I mean, frenemies? Is that maybe the closest term that makes sense?
Yeah, where do we even begin, Brian? let's start with the jet, because that's something that seems to be on everyone's mind here, at least in Washington, D.C., perhaps a little bit beyond Washington, D.C. Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution is very clear. It says that a president of the United States, so that the U.S. government cannot accept a gift, a quote-unquote present, and other types of emoluments without the consent of Congress. And hey, back in the 1700s, nobody was thinking of four-engine airplanes from Middle Eastern nations. But it's pretty much the same thing here. So Congress has not been involved in this negotiation or this discussion. The president says, hey, everything is totally within the bounds of the law. Many people, including, as you mentioned, people in his own party, are skeptical of that. And then there's just the basic question of, all right, well, you get a Boeing 747 from a Middle Eastern nation. I mean, is this just a giant flying Trojan horse? And is it going to be bugged? Is it going to be up to security standards? If this is going to be used as Air Force One, the presidential jet, is it going to be able to do all the things that the current Air Force One does, which includes having massive defensive measures, the ability to fly during a nuclear conflict? I mean, we could have a whole program on it just alone. So there are major, major ethical and also practical implications of this. And it remains to be seen whether this is ever going to fly as Air Force One. I think we're just beginning and not ending the story. And then as for Donald Trump's tour, I mean, he's getting quite literally the royal treatment in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. Qatar in particular is a fascinating story. I say very as neutral a fashion as I can. I mean, this is a country that has supported Hamas and is giving the United States president a jet. I mean, they have been playing both sides almost unlike any country in the Middle East, if not the world. So it will be fascinating to see what happens. And also, too, whether Donald Trump cuts some side deals, too, that really have nothing with the U.S. government, but his own real estate portfolio. This may be a personal and a professional visit in a major, major way going forward.
Dave, on the luxury jet, does he need approval from anyone?
Yeah, it would seem that he would need Congress's approval. The Constitution, if you read the Constitution, it's pretty darn clear that a gift or a present from another country, a foreign head of state, a king, a prince, has to come through Congress, and it has to be approved by Congress. So that's what the Constitution says. This has not been anything that has really been up for debate until Donald Trump says, well, we don't need to look there to the Constitution. He hasn't said that explicitly, but most legal scholars have, and some members of Congress have, too. So what that relationship is going to be in the next many weeks or even months is going to be most curious to see if Congress, which is controlled by Republicans in the House and the Senate, of course, begins to exert itself in a way that says, we need to tap the brakes here a little bit. But the jet itself is sitting in an airport in San Antonio, Texas right now. So it's here on U.S. soil and has been for several weeks.
As for a new Air Force One, I mean, if it's not this new jumbo jet that, you know, somehow gets transformed into an Air Force One, I mean, they have been trying to create a new one. You have to build new ones every now and then, right? And as I understand it, it's kind of been a tough process.
Yeah, well, the current one, it's a tough process because it's probably the most difficult plane to build for anywhere in the world. This is for the President of the United States. The current Air Force Ones are two jets that serve that purpose, that get that label when the president flies on it. They go back to the George H.W. Bush administration. So these are old, old Boeing 747s. At the same time, too, they have all of the standards, which are the most rigorous and highest you could ever imagine, militarily speaking, installed within them. And there are two new planes that Boeing is working on, but there have been delays and cost overruns, and it's still up in the air, no pun intended, that the planes are going to be delivered during Donald Trump's administration. Right now, they're scheduled for 2027, but we've heard other dates before, and those have come and passed.
Well, Dave, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Susan.
Dave Leventhal, our Washington Insider, live on WBEN.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.